At the UPS Store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS Store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries, plus napkins, plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this, plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
Hello, and welcome to the Nutrition Diva podcast. I'm your host, Monica Reinagle, and I have a couple of topics to share with you today. One regarding my recent episode on Ozempic, and a very thoughtful response that I received from a listener who treats patients suffering from obesity. And I also wanted to respond to a listener question about intermittent fasting, which a lot of people are turning to as a potential weight management or anti-aging strategy. A couple of episodes ago, I talked about a class of medications called GLP-1 agonists and their emerging role as a game changer in the treatment of obesity and diabetes. And in that episode, I speculated on how these medications might impact the future of bariatric surgery. Will these drugs eventually make those more invasive and riskier treatments like bariatric surgery obsolete? Well, within an hour of that episode's release, I got an email from Dr. Michelle Toder. She's a longtime listener who is also a bariatric surgeon, and she had some strong feelings about my statements regarding weight loss surgery. We then had a very thoughtful and an enlightening exchange, and I wanted to share some of the points that she made with you. Now, normally, I would consider bariatric surgery to be outside the scope of this podcast, because I'm really focusing here on food and nutrition. But having introduced the subject, even fleetingly, in my previous episode, it feels appropriate to share with you some of the points that Dr. Toder brought up. First, she points out that because the GLP-1 agonists are relatively new, we don't yet have really long-term data on weight maintenance or improvement in other health conditions or side effects. Bariatric surgery does have a much longer track record. So although the preliminary results of these medications are quite impressive, it will be several years before we can compare those long-term effects to those of bariatric surgery. And that's a valid point. She also pointed out that this is not an either-or situation. A treatment plan for someone suffering from obesity may involve both surgery and medication, along with lifestyle modification. According to Dr. Toder, GLP-1 agonists are sometimes very helpful in preventing weight regain after patients have undergone gastric bypass surgery, although they appear to be less useful for other types of bariatric surgery. In other words, although the results can be dramatic, bariatric surgery does not necessarily address or solve every issue related to the complex disease of obesity. Bariatric surgery patients generally require ongoing nutritional, behavioral, psychological, and/or medical support in order to manage this chronic condition. Because of their relatively short track record, Dr. Toder also expressed concerns about prescribing GLP-1 agonists to younger patients as a long-term, presumably lifetime solution. Will these medications be both safe and effective over an entire lifetime? These medications can have side effects, and these have been well documented in the studies to date, but we don't yet know the side effect profile of very long-term use. Now, of course, with any new treatment breakthrough, the long-term outcomes are yet to be determined. And although I am not an expert in obesity medicine, it seems to me that one advantage to medication is that it's more readily reversible than surgery. So if it doesn't work, or if it stops working, or side effects emerge or become intolerable, the medication can be stopped and other options can be considered. However, there may certainly be situations in which it makes more sense to start with a surgical solution. Dr. Toder told me she had just returned from an obesity medical conference at which these GLP-1 agonists were a hot topic, and she felt that the clearest consensus seems to be around the use of these medications in people who are experiencing a steady increase in their body weight year after year, that they're just unable to stem with lifestyle modification. So without some sort of intervention, they're very likely to continue along that trajectory and begin to experience increasing health issues as a result. So in this situation, she feels that medication, along with appropriate lifestyle change, is probably going to be more effective than diet and exercise alone, and it might also be safer than gastric surgery. And certainly with any disease process, the earlier we intervene, the less extreme that intervention needs to be, and the better the results. But finally, there are also patients who don't qualify for weight loss surgery, and this can be for a variety of reasons. And these new medications offer better options than we had before for those people. But obviously, I may have been a little premature in predicting the obsolescence of bariatric surgery. I really appreciated Dr. Toder taking the time to share her perspective with me, which gave me an opportunity to share it with you. And I will give her the final word on this subject for today. She wrote, "I would hope that those of us who treat patients with obesity would continue to support all of the potential tools in the toolbox and allow patients to work through the options with their physicians to make the choice that's most comfortable for them at that time. I would not want the medical professionals to discourage appropriate patients from considering surgery, nor should the surgeons be dissuading patients from considering pharmaceuticals." Well said. If you want to see real change, you need to be consistent, and hair care is no exception. Vegamore makes sticking to your hair care routine easy so that you can actually see the results you've always wanted. With a monthly subscription of their Grow Hair Serum, you'll never run low on the products that you need, plus it saves you money. For best results, you want to use this for at least 3 months to see visibly fuller, healthier, and thicker looking hair. I'm only on month 2, but the routine is super simple, and I like the way my hair is looking. I also appreciate that Vegamore products are free of harsh chemicals and are also 100% cruelty-free. Elevate your hair wellness routine this year with Vegamore, and for a limited time, get 20% off your first subscription order by going to vegamore.com/diva, and then use the code DIVA at checkout. That's VEGAMOUR.com/diva, and the code DIVA to save 20% on your first order.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's disinfecting wipes conveniently tackle surfaces, including remotes, tablets, and smartphones, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Another long-term listener reached out with a question about intermittent fasting. Barb wrote, "I just heard a podcast discussing intermittent fasting, in particular its effect on autophagy. I do a 13-hour fast, mostly just to help keep me from eating all evening. But if going for 17 hours helps my blood pressure or my blood sugar or reduces my risk of dementia, then I'm willing to give it a shot. However, when I Googled this, I'm not sure this is good science." Okay, I share Barb's skepticism here. Now, autophagy is a real thing. The word means self-digesting, and it refers to a process by which our bodies remove and recycle old and damaged cells. And it does appear to be related to senescence or aging, in that autophagy appears to slow down as we age. Now, some research, mostly in healthy young men who are fasting for Ramadan, suggests that the more extended fasting period typically observed during Ramadan, which incidentally also involves drinking no water during that fast, that may promote autophagy. So based on that, the speculation or the hope is that extended or more extended fasting windows might slow the aging process. But do you see how many logical leaps there are here? First of all, what does the effect of fasting in healthy young men tell us about the effects in aging individuals? For that matter, how long or how often would you need to do this fast in order to get those benefits? Ramadan goes for about 1 month every year. Does this increased rate of autophagy eventually regress to the mean? And what I mean by that is, could there be an initial bump when you introduce a new fasting schedule, which gradually levels off as your body adjusts to that routine? And all of these are, for now anyway, unanswered questions. I think in situations like this, you need to ask, how likely are you to experience the promised benefits? But also, how large is the potential benefit that you are likely to experience? I think we often forget to consider that, because you might stand a very good chance of getting a very tiny benefit, or maybe a smaller chance of a larger benefit, or it might be a very small chance of a very tiny benefit. Often there's just not enough good data to definitively answer these questions. So your next question might be, okay, well, what would it cost me to find out? In money or time or effort or comfort? Could you get the same or nearly the same benefits from less costly interventions? So in this case, what additional benefits might Barb get by expanding her 13-hour fast to 17 hours? And I'm also wondering how she would measure that effect. Measuring the impact on the rate of autophagy doesn't seem practical, but she could certainly try a 17-hour fasting window to see whether it had any measurable impact on her blood sugar or her blood pressure. And if it did, she could then consider whether those benefits were substantial enough to justify whatever that cost her. But in this case, I think she'd need to give it at least a month in order to really assess the impact. Now, for anyone contemplating extended fasting or more extended fasting, I'll advise caution. You want to take care not to become dehydrated, and you want to make sure that you're meeting all of your nutritional needs during that short eating window. I'd feel even more comfortable if that person were actually being monitored by their physician for any unintended ill effects, as well as to help evaluate the potential benefits. But my larger purpose in sharing Barb's question here on the podcast is to suggest a framework that you can use whenever you encounter these sorts of claims or you're considering an intervention. Number one, how likely are you to get the desired result? You, not a 20-year-old college student. Number two, how large is the most likely result? Number three, what are the costs? And number four, could you get the same or nearly the same benefit from a less costly intervention? And before I wrap up, I wanted to invite you to join me and other Nutrition Diva listeners for a 30-day nutrition upgrade starting November 8th. I know this is a time of year when health habits often start to fall apart a little bit. So if you could use a little boost of accountability and motivation as we head into the holiday season, head on over to nutritionovereasy.com/upgrade and register to join us. Nutrition Diva is a quick and dirty tips podcast and supported by a fantastic team, including our new director of podcasts, Brandon Getches, my audio engineer, Nathan Semmes, Davina Tomlin, who runs our marketing and publicity, Holly Hutchings, who is our digital operations specialist, Morgan Christensen, our podcast operations and advertising specialist, and Cameron Lacey. That's all for this episode. Thanks so much for listening. I will see you next week.
Walmart Plus members save on meeting up with friends. Save on having them over for dinner with free delivery with no hidden fees or markups. That's groceries plus napkins plus that vegetable chopper to make things a bit easier. Plus, members save on gas to go meet them in their neck of the woods. Plus, when you're ready for the ultimate sign of friendship, start a show together with your included Paramount Plus subscription. Walmart Plus members save on this plus so much more. Start a 30-day free trial at walmartplus.com. Paramount Plus, essential plan only. Separate registration required. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions.
At Capella University, you'll get support from people who care about your success. From before you enroll to after you graduate, pursue your goals knowing help is available when you need it. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.